Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. 888-623-3646. And, of course, if you want to send in your voicemail messages, if you want to get serious, okay, and you want to get at me, feel free to go to SiriusXM.com/get serious. That's SiriusXM.com/get serious. The opening of the NBA season was last night. And I got to tell you, there's two things, there's a few things that I walked away with. Number one, the Oklahoma City Thunder aren't going away. This is a team that is the reigning defending NBA champions. They had their banner night right in front of one of their old stars, Kevin Durant. And they went out there, and although it took them double overtime to do it, they ended up beating the Houston Rockets in double overtime. They're not going away. That's one point I walked away with. Point number two, I walked away with the knowledge that on this particular night where there was a doubleheader, OKC hosting Houston, the Los Angeles Lakers hosting the Golden State Warriors, that the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets are going to be two legit title contenders. Point number three I walked away with, I don't see the Lakers being one of them. Now, I believe in Coach J.J. Redick because I think that he's going to be an outstanding coach in the National Basketball Association. But I just looked at the Lakers, of course, without LeBron James last night, suffering from his sciatica ailment. And you know they'd be better with him than without him because LeBron James is one of the greatest players on the planet still. But you look at the Lakers, their shooting, where you're going to find that from, their defense, where you're going to get that from, DeAndre Ayton, who just like literally drifts in front of your eyes. And you walk away thinking about Luka Doncic, who was absolutely sensational last night with 43-12-9, looks in better shape, came ready to play, looked like he was holding his groin for a second there. But in the end, the bottom line is that Luka Doncic is ready to ball. He is the new face of the Los Angeles Lakers franchise. He is the future. They've got to do what they can to get him the requisite help that he needs. But he's going to show up. He's just that special. He's just that special. And he showed up last night and balled out. Make no mistake. But they ain't the Golden State Warriors. When you look at the Golden State Warriors right now, I'm just imagining Steph Curry, the babyface assassin, who, by the way, didn't have that great of a game. Because Jimmy Butler was busy doing his thing. And then you look at the contributions that they get. Draymond Green is just a basketball savant. I mean, when you consider all the little things that he does, rebounding, drawing offensive fouls, defending, feeding Steph Curry, setting him up with picks, etc. I mean, Draymond can give lessons on the basketball court about just how to do this stuff. He's just that special, okay? But here's why I'm so interested in the Golden State Warriors, and I think they have such a chance. As crazy as this sounds, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at Al Horford. I'm looking at Al Horford. Of all the people that I could talk about when it comes to the Golden State Warriors, as important as Kuminga is, as important as Brzezinski is, I'm looking at Al Horford, and I'm saying to myself, excuse me, this brother can end up being a huge, huge deal for the Golden State Warriors. Al Horford is 39 years of age. He turns 40 in June. He's already a champion. He's been to a couple of NBA finals. He only averaged 5 points only averaged 7.9 points for his career. 7.9 point game score, but you can't go by that because he had plenty of years. First 14 years or so in his career, he averaged double digits. 9 years in Atlanta, another 7 in Boston. You know, but I'm just looking at him. And I know that single digits have been the case the last few years in Boston. But he played 28 minutes last night. Nothing to brag home about. That's not what I'm saying. When you look at an Al Horford, He's able to defend for you at the five, which gets Draymond Green off of constantly being undersized against his offensive opponents. And on top of it all, Al Horford can step away from the basket and hit three-point shots. Hit spot-up three-point shots. Draymond hit a big one from the right corner last night late in the game when the Lakers were trying to make a run. But Al Horford could do that. And if you have size, and if you have experience, you have a championship pedigree, and you combine that with young guys like Podzimski and Kuminga, and you see Draymond and Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry playing it, and the Golden State Warriors' mission is to play 34 minutes or less for all of their main players, you got something here. And it's just a bad matchup for the Lakers, because here's the thing with Golden State compared to the Lakers. Golden State hits jump shots, and Golden State makes free throws. So the combination of those two things really put you at an advantageous position when you're the Warriors going up against the Lakers, which is why they won last night. You're the Los Angeles Lakers. Where's your defense? Who's going to play defense for you? I mean, do these cats know the offense? And who is your floor general? Because you don't have one. So because you don't have one, you're stuck in that rut. You're in that kind of situation. Because that's not what Luka is. Luka's a scorer. That floor general that you need to calm things down, to make sure everybody is handling their responsibilities and fulfilling their obligations. Who's that person? It's going to have to be LeBron for you when all is said and done. It's going to have to be that. So it's a real wonderment as to how that's going to work. I think the Lakers can make the playoffs, of course, and stuff like that, but I see them going to the first round, going home. The Warriors could potentially make some noise. Remember, Steph Curry doesn't get hurt last year in the playoffs. There's a legitimate chance they could have beat Minnesota. So we can't ignore that reality. We got to look at that for what it is and call it like it is. We got to see that for what it is. So that's one thing I want to get out the way. Let me get into Houston for a quick second here. Houston started four dudes 6 feet 11 last night or taller. Four dudes. Kevin Durant didn't have the greatest game. Oh, so what? He's Kevin Durant. It's the opener. Shagun was outstanding. Jabari Smith is a threat. Okay? You got KD up in there. You know what he brings to the table. Amen Thompson, I'm a huge fan of. Late assignment, missed, forcing Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to his left, got burned. Ime Udoka was furious about it. Got to get him to his right. Got to turn and steer him into traffic. Don't let him come off his left hand, because Shai Butler's going to hurt you all day long. It's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It's the reigning league MVP, NBA Finals MVP, NBA champion. He's that special. You know what he's going to do. You got to make sure you prepare for all of that. But that's neither here nor there. You look at Houston, and I personally think that the loss of Fred VanVleet, an experienced marksman with a championship pedigree, is a devastating loss for them. The way I look at Houston, if Fred VanVleet was healthy, Houston could win it all. They still might be able to, because I believe in Ime Udoka that much, and I believe in Kevin Durant that much. That's just where I'm at with it. But I'm just telling you right now, that's what I'm paying attention to. Now, obviously, with the NBA on ESPN, it opens tonight because we got the Knicks hosting the Cavs. We got the TNT crew now transitioning over to ESPN. Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, Shaquille O'Neal, Ernie Johnson. They'll be airing on ESPN. They debut tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Can't wait to see him. Just spoke to my man Kenny the Jet Smith on my day job first take at 11 a.m. this morning. They all hyped. They ready to roll. I got the Knicks going to the finals. I'm going to say it one more time. I got the New York Knicks going to the finals. Yes, with my jabber jaw still hurting from a double root canal surgery this weekend. Okay, me looking like a damn chipmunk. I'm still here on the air, ecstatic and excited, because I'm telling you, New York Knicks going to the finals. They better go. They better go. This is the best chance that the New York Knicks have had to get to the NBA Finals in 25 years. This is their best chance in 25 years. That's what I'm trying to tell y'all. That's who I'm looking at right now. When I look at the New York Knicks, I'm like, Jason Tatum's out with an Achilles tear. Tyrese Halliburton's out with an Achilles tear. Damian Lillard tore his Achilles, and he's no longer in Milwaukee with Giannis because he's got moved to Portland, which is where he wanted to be and where he belongs. Because that's home. That's where it makes him happy. I'm like, what's going on here? That's three obstacles out of your way. They should be able to beat you. So now what we got to look at? We got to look at Detroit. An outsider like Orlando, they got Desmond Bane. That's a big-time pickup. But still shouldn't elevate them over the Knicks. And then after that, what do we have? We have Cleveland, who the Knicks host tonight, who had their way with the New York Knicks last year in the regular season. Cleveland's long with Mobley and Allen. They're gifted with Donovan Mitchell, who's an absolute stud. Darius Garland ain't no scrub. They got pieces. Kenny Atkinson can coach. I get it. The New York Knicks should still win the East. They got Brunson. They got Bridges. They got Hart. They got Ananobi. They got Karl Anthony Towns. They got Mitchell Robinson. They acquired Clarkson. Yubusele. What's the problem? Now, Hart and Mitchell Robinson are expected to be out tonight. I get that part. But I'm looking at this. Mike Brown's your new coach. Everybody going to be watching how he compares to Tom Thibodeau. You expect the defense to suffer a little bit. You expect the offense to be vastly improved compared to what it was under Thibodeau's. And obviously, that's going to be getting other people involved, okay, to make sure that you're utilizing your bench more effectively. That's what this is supposed to come down to. So when I look at the New York Knicks, I'm like, hey, this is what it's supposed to be. I don't want to hear all of this other stuff. Don't want to hear it. There's no excuses. There's no excuses. New York Knicks should go to the finals. I didn't say win it. I said go to the finals. To me, their biggest threats are Cleveland and Detroit. Excuse me. Cleveland and Detroit. Because I'm not sleeping on the Detroit Pistons one bit. But Cleveland and Detroit's your big threats. And I know Bernie Bickerstaff is determined he ain't never losing to the Knicks again. And I know Cade Cunningham is coming. The brother's a stud. He's special. But the New York Knicks should win the East. The West is wide open. We'll talk about that as the show progresses. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. It's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, right here with you. Lots of stuff to get into. No doubt about it. Some NFL stuff to get into. Woody Johnson, owner for the New York Jets. It's going to be interesting to see what happens because the owner for the New York Jets, Woody Johnson, is at the NFL meetings. And it's rare. Do we have that sound, Sean? It's rare. It's rare that you hear an owner say something like this. But listen to Woody Johnson coming to the defense of his 0-7 rookie head coach, Aaron Glenn, as it pertains to quarterback Justin Fields. Listen to Woody Johnson and what he had to say here.
What's your confidence level in Aaron to turn it around?
Well, it looks like he's turning around parts of it. You know, it's hard when you have a quarterback with, you know, with a rating that we got, you know. He has the ability, but something just is not jiving. But if you look at any head coach with a quarterback like that, you're going to see similar results if you go across the league. You have to play consistently with, you know, at that position, and that's what we're going to try to do for the remainder of the season.
So what gives you hope then?
I just think defense, special teams are doing better. Defense is pretty good. And if we can just complete a pass, it would look good. You got to complete some passes. You got to convince them that you can do something. Otherwise, it's hard to have a game that you can win.
Ouch. You know, you got a situation where Woody Johnson is basically saying, our quarterback's trash. That's why we're 0-7. I kind of think that was a bit cruel on his part. I don't think that was necessary. But Justin Fields has been bad. And the defense over the last 2 weeks have given up 13 points in each game. In losses to Denver and in losses to Carolina. They've given up 13 points in each game. They've lost 13-11 to the Denver Broncos and they lost 13-6 to the Carolina Panthers. So in that regard, you hear him loud and clear. You hear what Woody Johnson is saying. It's still an ouch moment. But the Jets are awful. And they've been awful. And I think the number one person that Woody Johnson needs to look at is himself, because guess what? Ever since he returned from being an ambassador to the UK or whatever it was, and he got rid of Robert Saleh, everything has fallen apart for the New York Jets. Everything. And so I think that it's one of those situations where he could look in the mirror. As it pertains to Justin Fields, there's no way around this. You got a QBR 31. You're ineffective. And Justin Fields clearly has appeared to make a huge mistake. Departed from Chicago, in Pittsburgh, not leaving Pittsburgh, going to the New York Jets. I mean, his career is disintegrating before our very eyes, because now he's being looked at as a person that can't play. That ain't worth the two-year, $40 million investment Woody Johnson made in him. And there's no way around that. There's another coach that made some noise, Sean Payton, going off about Russell Wilson indirectly. Listen to what Sean Payton had to say as it pertained. The head coach of the Broncos, after beating the New York Giants, speaking favorably of Jackson Dart, the quarterback for the New York Giants, clearly at the expense of his former quarterback in Denver, Russell Wilson, who's now Dart's backup with the New York Giants. Listen to Sean Payton here.
I have a ton of respect for that organization. I spent four of my early years there coordinating Super Bowl, first game in this stadium before 9/11, close with the Mayor Tisch family. And, you know, they found a little spark with that quarterback. I was talking to John Mara not too long ago, and I said we were hoping that that change would have happened long after our game.
That's an ouch. You were hoping the change would happen long after your game, because you were hoping that Russell Wilson would be the quarterback for the New York Giants when you went against him. So that was definitely a shot at Russell Wilson, who didn't take too kindly to that. Do we have that sound from Russell Wilson and his response to Sean Payton? Show me the tweet where Russell Wilson claps back at Sean Payton, his former coach with the Denver Broncos, because you usually don't hear Russell Wilson sounding like this, but he did. He was definitely sending a message, and it didn't escape me. This is Russell Wilson talking about Sean Payton, coach of the Broncos, and what he said. He said, classless, but not surprised. Didn't realize you're still bounty hunting 15 years later through the media. Hashtag let's ride. Russell Wilson's perfectly within his right to clap back like that. Perfectly within his right. Because Sean Payton didn't have to go there. The flip side to it is that they don't like each other. Sean Payton didn't like him as a quarterback. When Sean Payton arrived in Denver, he had heard all of this noise about Russell Wilson and preferential treatment, and how he had distanced himself from his own teammates and all of this other stuff, and it really impugned the reputation of a Russell Wilson. And Sean Payton came on board and said, that stuff is going to come to an end. Ain't none of that happening now. You can cancel that. It ain't happening. It ain't about to happen. And then obviously you saw Sean Payton jumping his butt on the sideline one time when they were during a game or what have you. And they clearly don't like each other. And so Sean Payton was taking a shot at him, and Russell Wilson was taking a shot back, which is perfectly within his right to do. Can't knock it at all. But Sean definitely instigated that. Let me get to this last point. And again, I thank y'all for being with me with this damn jaw of mine. This dental surgery is no joke. I'm just going to say that. I look like a damn chipmunk for crying out loud. But it is what it is. Former ESPN host, Samantha Ponder, covered a New York Post, complained that her middle school-aged daughter had to guard a, quote, naturally born boy, end quote, in a girls' basketball tournament, which she said was maddening. New York City lets children play as the gender identity of their choice. That's according to a story in the New York Post. And that's what happened. Only thing that I want to say is this. Just want to make sure that I'm consistent with my positions, as I always am. I'm all for transgender rights. All for rights with the LGBTQ plus community. No problem at all. But you always have to ask yourself the question of unfair advantages when it comes to sports, when it comes to competition. And if you are a boy transitioning to a girl, you should have all the rights accorded to every citizen imaginable. But that doesn't mean you get to play against girls. You're transitioning from male to female. DNA-wise, that puts you at a distinct advantage. There's no way around it. So what I'm saying is Samantha Pond is right. She's not wrong. She's not wrong. That's all I'm saying. I'm talking about the general principle. My position is this has been consistent across the board. You know, if you're a male transitioning to female, it's an unfair advantage for you in a female sport. Period. That's just the way, it's just that simple to me. So I can respect her for speaking up. Some people might disagree. Some people might not like the fact that she said it, but it doesn't make her wrong. It just doesn't. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with your calls and more in a minute before my man, Diego Pavia, is the star quarterback for Vanderbilt, who's a relevant team. Vanderbilt, you understand, known as the Ivy League of the South in some people's eyes. As my buddy Skip Bayless used to always say about his alma mater, this brother's doing some big things, and he's going to be on the show to talk about that in a few minutes. Not before your calls, though, so don't go away. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.